Lowe's knows how to turn big plans into real results. Whether it's new appliances or a home refresh, get started with 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with the My Lowe's Rewards Credit Card, January 15th through the 30th. So you can invest in your upgrade now and pay over time. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payment required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
It is my great honor to speak with Lisa L. Baker. She is the founder of Ascentum. She is an award-winning executive coach who specializes in leadership development and helping high-achieving professionals lead boldly and live fully. And Lisa, I'm assuming that you also help people who may not be as high achieving as they think they could be become more high achieving.
I do, Christine, and it's so great to be with you. I do work with high achieving leaders and entrepreneurs, but you're correct in that there are some individuals who maybe aren't achieving as much as they'd like to, or they haven't area where they want to grow and get better, and that is all fair game. As executive coach, what I do is help people to move from where they are to where they really want to be, and to do that as quickly as possible.
It is the holiday season. Let me start with asking you this question. Is it okay to give yourself a break during the holidays?
It's more than okay. I would say it's essential to give yourself a break during the holidays. This is a great time to pause and just reflect. Reflect on what worked well this year. Reflect on what you're grateful for. Reflect on what you'd like to see in the new year. And just to spend time with friends and family and enjoy all of the fruits of your labor. So pausing and just relaxing is essential, I think, to starting the new year in the best possible place.
You talk about relaxing. We'll talk about that other dirty R word, the resolution word, in just a second. But when you say reviewing and reflect, do you encourage people to journal as a part of the process? And for you, what is journaling?
I do encourage journaling for those who enjoy writing. Journaling, to me, is to begin with a thought, a prompt, some question maybe, and then just write whatever comes to mind. I think take any pressure off of yourself to make it perfect or have something to say, but really just allow your thoughts to flow. And the beauty of that is when you do that, often those things that maybe are a little bit suppressed and are not fully at the consciousness level yet will rise to the top. So you get to hear your own thoughts and ideas. And from there, you can build on that.
I think
and
a lot
of place from which to grow.
Yes. And I think a lot of people say, well, I can't journal because I really don't have that much to write down. But it doesn't have to be any specific length, right?
That's right. It can be one sentence, a couple of paragraphs or bullet points. It does not, there's no real requirement other than to write whatever comes to mind. And if that's nothing, you could simply write, nothing's coming to mind right now.
And is it one of those things where if you start to do it, it gets easier?
Absolutely. It gets easier over time. And I think as we, like with anything else, as you begin to practice and make it a habit in small incremental steps, it just becomes much easier.
What are some of the areas that we need to review in our lives in order to kind of do a success checkup?
One of the first things that I encourage people to start with is to look inward into themselves and ask the question, what do I value and what matters most to me right now? That kind of reflection allows us to align our goals, plans, hopes, and dreams for the future to what really is deeply important and meaningful to us. Now, the next thing would be to reflect on what went well. What do you happy about? What are you grateful for? What are you looking forward to?
It seems like reflecting on values is less harsh than reflecting on the things that maybe someone did incorrectly during the year, because I think that's where our brains all go, right? As human beings, we find it more difficult to focus on positive and are more likely to focus on the negative. So I think what you had just said was valuable in that focus on your values, because that is an easier way to kind of softly venture into where you want to be rather than a harsh critique of where you've been.
Yes, it's an easier way to start. It's more encouraging. And it's interesting in that many of the leaders I coach find it very easy to say what they don't want, what they don't like, what's not working well. But it's very hard for them to answer the question, what do I want? What do I enjoy? It's really interesting to me about human nature, because so often we are conditioned around improvement. Where do I need to get better? What are my development needs? But my coaching comes from positive psychology, which is all about what it takes for leaders to thrive and what is great about them already. So I start with what they value. I start with their strengths, and we build from there. And that's not to say that we don't have things that we want to improve or that could be better. We do. But it's easier to improve and grow when you start from a place of strength.
How did you become a coach?
I started my career in corporate America. I worked in Fortune 500 and larger organizations in the fintech space. And as a leader of people and teams, though it wasn't in my job description, part of being a leader is helping to coach people. And I often share with individuals that one of my superpowers is my ability to spot talent and to see what's possible for someone based on their strengths and who they are, and then encourage and coach them to it. So I've been doing this work for a long time. But then in 2021, I made the bold decision to retire early, leave corporate America, and start my own coaching practice. I did that because I saw so many talented leaders who were struggling in corporate spaces and in their entrepreneurial journeys, not because they didn't have all the requisite things for success, but because often they were doubting themselves or comparing themselves to others, and because they didn't understand what it really takes to create the kind of life and leadership career that they desired. And I thought, wow, I have been down this road, and I have a process that I think can help people get there much more quickly than they would on their own. And so I founded Ascentum for leaders who are done playing small and operating on someone else's agenda, who are really ready to lead in a way that is authentic to who they are. So I got coach training, started my practice, and I'm really proud of the work that I've been able to do over the last 4 years in helping leaders and entrepreneurs and their teams to grow and achieve more than they thought was possible.
Before I let you go today, we'll make certain to get your information so that anybody who wants to get in contact with you can do so following this broadcast. Any surprises along the way in this journey for you as you have become a coach?
So many surprises along the way. Some of them very positive. One that I will share that's a really positive surprise is that I was very pleasantly surprised at how quickly leaders who apply themselves and really make the decision to connect with who they are, just how quickly they're able to move away from the pressures and stress that often comes with operating and leading at higher levels and move more into a more purposeful and aligned approach to leadership that grows them, their teams, and their businesses. So really positive surprise there. On the other side of that, I'm really surprised at just how difficult it was to build this business from scratch and really cause it to grow. I thought, you know, I've done this before in corporate spaces. Surely I can do this too. And I can, and I'm doing it. But this has been both the hardest thing that I've ever done and the most rewarding thing that I've ever done.
What would you recommend that anyone who wants to become a coach do differently than you did?
The first thing that I would recommend that they do differently is to have a plan for what they want their coaching practice to look like and determine the niche or the space in which they really want to coach. When I left corporate America, I didn't have a plan to become a coach or start a business. It really just came to me after having some downtime that this is what I really wanted to do. So I think if I had had that time and planning up front, that would have certainly made it easier. And the second thing that I would encourage them to do is really to leverage all of their resources, the people that they know, the experiences that they have, just their own inner drive, and build from that. We have much more available to us than sometimes we think possible when we're starting something new or making one of those bold moves that's outside of our comfort zone.
We are speaking with Lisa L. Baker. She is an executive coach, as you're listening, and the founder of Ascentum. So we are in that time of year when people are either making or coming to terms with resolutions that they are planning to make. Do you think making resolutions is a good idea?
I think it can be a good idea for some, but the reality is most people who make New Year's resolutions will have abandoned those resolutions within the first couple weeks of the new year. A better approach is to pick a word for the year, a focus area, and allow that to be what guides you. So for example, my word for 2026 is going to be discipline. So everything that I work on in the new year that I'm building from, you know, coming into the year is really about being more disciplined. That's easier than, you know, setting a aspiration or a resolution for the year that likely won't last.
How detailed must someone get about their goals? Or are you suggesting that the less detailed, the better? If they're going to pick a word, is it important to say, okay, well, for example, your word, discipline, is it important to say the way that you're going to become disciplined or just to hold yourself accountable to becoming more disciplined overall?
Adding more detail is better. Writing them down is even better. You are much more likely to achieve a goal when it's written. And we've all heard of SMART goals, right? That it should be specific, that it should be measurable, that it's something that we can achieve that's reasonable and is relevant to us and is time bound. So for example, if you're going to focus on discipline, in what area do you want to be more disciplined? Within that area, then what specifically would you like to achieve by when?
Is it okay to give yourself some grace? So say part of your discipline is to eat less sugar, but one day you decide you're going to have a piece of carrot cake and a piece of chocolate. Is it okay to fall off the wagon just a little bit?
It is okay. We're human and we're going to make mistakes. And I absolutely think we should give ourselves some grace. The way I think about it, and I encourage my clients to think about it, is what does progress look like? Because even a small step in the direction of your goals, a small step toward being more aligned with who you are and what you value, is progress, and that is a success. So we don't always have to make giant leaps and bounds. Small progress is progress.
Okay,
count that and build on it.
That sounds doable. Are there any subject areas where people should steer clear of resolutions, or is there any danger of getting too broad?
I think there absolutely is the danger of being too broad. What I recommend is, again, to think about what is most meaningful for you right now. And I say right now because seasons change and what your focus is this current year or even in a quarter may look different than it is the next quarter or the next year. So I would encourage people to take what is the smallest executable step that you can take in the direction of your vision or your goals. That tends to work well because you get those quick wins that you can then build upon, and that creates momentum.
Are those quick wins really important to have on a regular basis?
It is important because for many people, we get discouraged, right? If we don't feel like we're making progress, or if a goal feels so large that it's unachievable. You can have a big, bold goal, and I encourage that, but then break it down into smaller steps so that you can begin to see success and track your progress over time.
Any areas to stay away from, like dieting?
I would stay away from anything that is, I'm going to put it in air quotes, something you think you should do. And the reason why I say should is because should is always someone else's agenda for us. So when you, if you hear yourself saying, well, I should lose 20 pounds, then I would encourage you to ask yourself after that, who told me I should do that? A better question is, what do I want to do? What do I get to do? Because that is a goal that will be aligned to who you are, what you really want, and then make a plan for that.
Do you make resolutions every year, or you stick with the word?
I tend to stick with a word for the year and then set measurable goals around that word.
And it's important that the goals are in little bite-sized chunks.
For me, I think it really is important. And it's what tends to work for my clients as well, particularly in a coaching environment, because we can track from one coaching session to the next and over time, the small actions that they've taken and how they're progressing toward the larger goal in the context of those small actions.
What do your clients look like? You have said that they are high achievers. Are all of them high achievers? Are all of them from the corporate world? Are there any folks that surprise you, anyone listening right now who, you know, may not be a C-suite executive at a company? Is your training and coaching for everyone?
My training and coaching is for anyone who number one, has a goal that they want to achieve, that they know they could achieve faster if they had support to get there. My clients tend to be leaders who are mid-career all the way up through the C-suite. They're also entrepreneurs and small businesses. But the thing that they all have in common is they have this sense, a deep knowing that even though they're successful on many levels, that there is more available to them. They are done playing small and leading from a place of the pressure and grind that can be so ingrained in this hustle culture that we have. And they want to break free from that, live and lead on their own terms, and achieve all that is available to them when they're operating in alignment with who they are and what they value.
Oh, that's so nicely said. One of the things that you talk about is silencing self-doubt. I'm assuming easier said than done.
Yes, much easier said than done. We all on some level, can have self-doubt or even fear from time to time. But I find that it is...
Do we all have self-doubt? I don't mean to interrupt you, but do we all? Because I think some people... Is it just that they're faking it until they make it?
Let's put it on a spectrum, Christine. I think there are some people who are on the very far end of the spectrum who have, let's call it 100% confidence. They believe that they can do anything. They might even border on what we might call narcissism, that they're great, they can do anything, right? That's rare. The other end of the spectrum is also rare. Someone who has zero confidence in themselves, is fearful of everything, doesn't want to try new things. Those are extremes and they're rare. Most people are in the middle somewhere. We're confident in some areas and maybe less confident in others. Often what comes up is when we're doing something new, something that stretches us, that really is a bold move that takes us outside of our comfort zone, that's when the doubts and the fears will tend to pop up.
Okay, I think we can work with that. One of the other things that you say that you do is you help inspire people to take bold action. How bold are we talking?
As bold as you want to get. For me, a bold action is anything that pushes you toward your purpose, that takes you outside of your comfort zone, and has the ability to have a significant impact on your life or the lives of those around you.
Wow, that's amazing. You also say that you should lead from your strengths. Do we know what our strengths are?
I hope so. Sometimes they're not as, you know, evident as we might think. But if this is where journaling and really reflecting can be helpful. Think about strengths in terms of what are the things that I do really well, the talents that you and abilities that you naturally have. It can also be competencies that you have gained along the way in your career and working that where you're just really good at something. Those are things that fall into the strengths category. And starting from there, leveraging your strengths to achieve whatever goal you're working on is a positive jumping off point for your next level of success.
Do you think it's wise to ask other people what they perceive our strengths to be?
It is wise because often people will see strengths and talents in us that we may not recognize in ourselves, especially if it's something that you're just naturally good at. Often you're so good at doing something, Kristen, and you just do it naturally, so you may not even think of it as a strength. You're just being you. But others will maybe compliment you and say, wow, Christine, you have a gift with words. You just have a way of saying things. You're such a great interviewer. You may not think of that as a strength, but it really is. So I encourage people to get feedback, 360-degree feedback from people who are your peers, people who maybe report to you if you have direct reports, your leader, so your boss, your boss's boss, to do that 360 sort of assessment about what am I good at? What are the strengths that you see in me? What do you value in me? And that can help to expand your view of what your strengths are.
And one of your strengths is being a wonderful public speaker, and you are a member of the Forbes Coaches Council. If someone who is listening wants to get in touch with you, I'm assuming that you offer training for the general public.
I do. You can get in touch with me through my website, ascentum.com. That's ASCENTIM, ascentum.com. I love making new connections, so you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Lisa L. Baker, and I work with leaders, entrepreneurs, and their teams. So if you have a big, bold goal you want to achieve in the new year, you want help to shed the shoulds and build confidence, I'd love to hear from you. One thing that I would add is if for a leader who wants to have a easy step-by-step process to building confidence and breaking through barriers, they can visit my website, ascentum.com/bold moves. There you'll find a free training to help you do just that, break barriers and build confidence in the new year.
You are so dynamic, and it has been a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.
Lowe's knows how to turn big plans into real results. Whether it's new appliances or a home refresh, get started with 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more with a My Lowe's Rewards credit card, January 15th through the 30th. So you can invest in your upgrade now and pay over time. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payment required. See store or lowes.com for details.